We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
As a person of faith, I believe we are called to care for each other and work to ease human suffering. The full promise of stem cell research remains unknown, and it's about letting scientists do their jobs, and that we make scientific decisions based on facts, not ideology.
If someone would disagree with the church on abortion, I don't see how they can call themselves a Catholic. And the vanity or hurt feelings of an individual Catholic governor or senator or even vice president do not take priority over the faith of the believing community.
Christian film is bad film for the same reason that pornography is bad. It's made on low budgets. There's nobody in it with much talent. And we all know how the story's going to turn out.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Even the best filtered computer, the very best one, you're sitting there, you want to find something in a search engine, you type in what you think is a completely innocuous word. You are just innocently searching for something on the internet. Maybe you're looking to buy something, you're trying to find some information, and the next thing you know, at least some of those links that you're looking at, even the best filtered computer, will end up taking you places you don't want to go or your kids don't want to go. And yet, if we are to believe those who study these things, pornography is about 50% of what's flying around the internet right now. Where would the internet be without pornography? It's big business, and it's not only on the internet television screen. It's also, in fact, on people's cell phones and PDAs and everywhere else. We're going to be talking about a front page story in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch regarding church leaders responding to pornography. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our discussion on pornography with Tim Townsend, we'll spend the rest of today's program talking with Dr. Alvin Schmidt about the influence and impact of Christianity today on art, architecture, music, and literature, the arts. It's Friday afternoon, the 20th of March. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. Tim Townsend is a regular guest, religion editor for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, author of a story on the cover of today's paper, Multiplying Outlets for Porn, Worry Pastors. Tim, welcome.
Hi, Todd.
Why the apparently sudden urgency regarding porn, especially in the Midwest, but all across the nation?
Well, it's a couple things that you cited in your intro. One is that it's big, big business. The AVN Media Network, which is one of the industry trackers of adult entertainment, they reported in 2006 about $13 billion in retail sales. And while you can't really verify any of those numbers, that's even a fraction of that would be enough to worry most pastors. But even in the last year, that sense of anxiety is sort of ramped up, and it's exactly what you were saying about technology. Porn has now moved from the computer screen on your desktop to something you can carry around with you in your cell phone. Organizations like the Religious Alliance Against Pornography have been working with cell phone companies, the five major companies. They've gotten them to agree not to carry any sort of adult material on their platforms, but that doesn't mean that any of these devices that can access the internet, as you were saying before, the internet is the Wild West, and if you can access the internet on your cell phone, then you can access porn on your cell phone, and that's the thing that has a lot of pastors worried and has a lot of the porn industry sort of excited, because they realize that this is a brand new market.
I'm wondering whether or not it's not just the fact that it seems now to be technologically pervasive, but also seems to have found its way into the Christian community. The pastors have realized that this isn't a problem just as an industry outside the pale of the Christian community, but it's a problem inside the Christian community as well.
Yeah, and I think that's because porn is so ubiquitous now that it reaches inside the walls of the church. And, you know, a lot of the people I talked to said, you know, in the old days when porn was actually kind of a film that you had to go out and get or a magazine that you had to go out and buy, you had to leave your house, it's not like that anymore. It's completely anonymous. And that, for a lot of pastors and a lot of ministries that are dedicated just to this issue, they believe that makes porn habit forming, and some of them use the word addictive. And so that, you know, people who go to church are human beings, and so they're susceptible to that kind of thing too.
Tell us a bit about, and you have some quotes in your story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, people who either say, look, this is not the problem that everyone's making out to be, or as a matter of civil liberties, this is really stepping over the line, trying to close the avenues of porn like some of these religious groups are.
Right. So there are some, you know, national, pretty powerful organizations like the National Coalition for the Protection of Children and Families that are out there lobbying on a state-by-state basis for a lot of, you know, trying to get some legislation passed that will curb a lot of the a lot of what the porn industry doesn't want to be curbed, and so there are arguments from organizations like the ACLU that say, you know, if a pastor wants to tell his congregation or her congregation that there are moral, major moral problems with porn, that's fine. But they can't use the government in order to legislate morality. So that's sort of the ACLU position. There's other people who just say, you know, porn is something that people do in the privacy of their own homes. It's not hurting anybody else, and so what's the big deal? That's sort of the argument of it's a long-time argument for people who, you know, think of porn as just another form of entertainment.
One of the things that you mentioned in your story as well is the reticence of pastors with their congregations to raise the issue. What's being done to try and, I guess for lack of a better word, kind of encourage pastors to broach the subject?
Well, you know, it's funny. I talked to a guy from a really interesting website called XXXChurch.com, which was sort of a guerrilla movement online, probably started about 7 years ago. Some young pastors thought, well, since most porn now is being viewed online, why don't we try to fight it online? And these guys had this kind of rock and roll attitude about trying to bring this to church people, and they have convinced, through a lot of work and a lot of traveling and a lot of counseling of pastors, that they can't ignore this anymore. And the National Coalition has also done that. We in St. Louis, we have a new office here, and the executive director of that office has been out for the last year talking to church leaders, institutional church leaders, but also just to individual pastors, trying to get them to get over the awkwardness of this taboo subject that seems to, it's hard for people to talk about. And, you know, even when you have organized series of events at a church, you know, that focus on this issue, when you get a pastor to get over that awkward hurdle, it's really hard for him to bring in his flock, because, you know, you go to a church-sponsored event that's about porn, people are going to be looking around and seeing who's there and who's got a problem. So, again, it's one of those taboo subjects that I think is just hard for anybody, whether it's a church-going person or not.
Is there anything locally that is of a legislative nature that people ought to be paying attention to on this front, Tim?
Yeah, you know, I talked to some people who said there are some things happening in Jefferson City. I didn't really get a chance to look too much into it. They're all pretty early in the process. There are some things going on in, I think, with libraries. There are some issues with some library legislation that maybe people should watch out for, I was told by the ACLU person I talked to. So, yeah, there's probably some stuff happening, and we'll probably be looking at it a little bit in the paper.
Tim Townsend is religion editor for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, author of a story in today's paper titled Multiplying Outlets for Porn, Worry Pastors. We'll post a link to this story under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Tim, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd. Good talking to you.
It's like a siren song out there almost everywhere one looks, and it used to be something terribly taboo, something off in the dark corner or on the wrong side of the tracks, and now it's in your basement, in your living room, on television, everywhere. There's an awful lot of shame attached to it, and there should be. But remember, this is a sin like every other sin, and the church will always deal with sin in the same way. Do we need to talk to the culture and say, the coarsening of our culture helps no one, harms children and women and men? Yes, we do. But we need to deal with it within our own ranks as well. The only answer to this, ultimately, is repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. As dark as the darkest recesses of our hearts are, and that's where porn comes from. Not from California, not from the internet. It comes from the dark recesses of our own sinful hearts. Christ has cleansed our hearts from sin. And the only answer to this is repentance and the forgiveness that Christ continues to give for my sins, for your sins, for the sins great and small, for pornography and all those other sins that we still even do not mention even to ourselves. The forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. We work in the culture, yes, but the church has a word of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name to speak even to this sin too. When we come back, Dr. Alvin Schmidt's going to be our guest. We've talked all week about the impact of Christianity on all sorts of things. Yesterday it was justice and freedom and the abolitionist movement. Today we'll turn to the arts, to art, to music, to literature, to architecture. Dr. Alvin Schmidt, right after this. Here are a few of the features of the new Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Study notes, application notes, and prayers from a uniquely Lutheran perspective. 120 maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Villa in Finland is online. Villa, welcome to Issues Etc.
This thing about forgiveness, I think Jesus forgave on the cross, and so did Stephen, and this shows only that the Holy Spirit can do that. That was what I wanted to say.
Villa, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Finland.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Abortion supporters are right about one thing.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Abortion advocates frequently respond to pro-life arguments by saying that if pro-lifers are so concerned about unwanted children, then they should adopt them. They're right. If anyone should adopt children, it should be those who view children, born and unborn, as precious human beings. But don't be distracted by their retort. Whether or not pro-lifers adopt children is irrelevant to whether or not abortion is the taking of human life. Abortion advocates are desperate to shift the focus from abortionists to pro-life advocates. Be careful not to fall for this tactic and keep the focus where it should be, on abortion.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.